Hello everyone.
I hope you've got your umbrella.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 4th of September, 2024.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have myself, Nathan, Ian, Christine, Angela, Liz, Pete, Helen, Simon, and Soundings contributor, Roger Brooks. In this week's edition, we have the latest Beacon update from Helen, the latest news for the Black Country, a quiz with Soundings recorder, Roger Brooks, the latest football news for both West Brom and Wolves. Local news to start, though, with Ian, Christine, and Liz, but first, Angela.
Some of the bus services provided by Chase Rider Buses and Select in Staffordshire, Shropshire and the Black Country are changing from this week. Chase Rider monitors its local bus services at regular intervals, and Callum Crawford, operations manager at Chase Rider Buses, said, "Recent monitoring has highlighted the need to make changes to a number of journeys on several local bus services to ensure we continue to provide a reliable, regular and robust bus service which our customers expect and deserve." The select changes include services 877 and 878, Stafford to Wolverhampton, which will see 877 operate as a standalone service between Stafford and Wolverhampton, calling at Horton, Knowsall and Wheaton Aston. 878 will be renumbered 876 and will operate to a revised route and timetable. Most journeys will provide a through service between Stafford and Wolverhampton, calling at Penkridge, Brood and Coven. The revised route will avoid the Kidmore Green Road, which is frequently closed, and will ensure a more reliable service is provided. A new Saturday service will also be introduced, and together services 875 and 876 will provide a 30-minute daytime frequency between Penkridge and Stafford. Service 875, Stafford to Cannock via Penkridge, where there will be minor changes to the timetable to enable the service to interwork with service 876, improving the frequency between Stafford and Penkridge. And service 36A, Walsall to Lichfield via Aldridge, will no longer have a timing point at the Three Tuns in Lichfield due to safety concerns with buses waiting there. The stop will continue to be served and bus times will remain unchanged. For more information and details regarding these and further changes, please contact your local authority or Chase Rider Buses directly on 01543 758 594.
Now, I'm sure we've all heard a few things go bump in the night. And for some of us, that may well be the unfortunate noise of a vehicle hitting a pothole or two in our street. Well, for one local authority, council contractors are working around the clock to tackle the state of the roads across the borough in what has been labelled as a nighttime blitz. The nocturnal repairs, which have taken place over the last month, has seen more than 1,000 square metres of road repaired across Dudley over a three-week period during the evening. The blitz is taking place alongside regular daytime works. It comes after a successful pilot in April and May, where more than 1,100 square metres of road was fixed during the night. Road repaired at night last month were Vicar Street and Gospel End Street, Sedgley, Sedgley Road East, Manor Lane and Carter's Lane, Hales Owen, the Broadway and the Parade, Dudley, the Boulevard and Waterfront Islands, Briley Hill, Councillor Damien Caulfield, Cabinet Member for Highways and Environmental Services, said, "We get hundreds of calls every month about potholes, so we know how important it is to our residents that we get them sorted out. We have daytime works taking place daily, repairing potholes and roads in the borough. The nighttime blitz works tackle larger areas or traffic-sensitive locations that would ordinarily be more difficult to work on during the day without causing congestion. The work this month comes after a very successful pilot in April and May, where we repaired more than 1,100 square metres on six principal roads across the borough. We are delighted to have achieved a similar result this time around. Roads repaired in April and May were Duncan Edwards Way, Cinder Bank in Netherton, Hayden Hill Road and Hagley Road in Hales Owen, Norton Road in Norton, and Boulevard and Level Street in Briley Hill." Up next, we hear from Helen, who of course has for us the Beacon update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon, back with your weekly update, and what a week it's been despite the bank holiday. There's been lots going on, so let's get on with it, hey? So first up, would you like to join a free drumming workshop? Well, if you're ready to create music from everyday objects, we have the workshop for you. Kicking off on Wednesday the 2nd of October at Beacon, there'll be a different musical style each month, from Indian drumming to Irish tunes. No experience is needed, just bring some small items from home and, well, we'll provide the chopsticks. If you'd like to learn more, get in touch, call us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Now, next this week, I am delighted to share some exciting progress at our Nature Hub's accessible community garden. Over the last few weeks, our dedicated staff, members and project volunteers have been hard at work planting flowers in our raised planters. As our garden begins to take shape, we will be adding some audio QR codes so that everyone can learn about the plants in each planter. Stay tuned for more updates. Well, next this week, we have some more exciting news for you. Have you heard about our Weddensfield shop opening? Well, one of the first visitors was no other than Wolverhampton's first citizen, the Mayor of Wolverhampton. We were delighted to welcome her, more so because we are so fortunate and grateful to be the Mayor's chosen charity of the year this year. So if you'd like to make like the Mayor and drop us a visit, then you can find us on Weddensfield High Street. Now, last this week, September at the Beacon Centre is packed with exciting community activities. Whether you're into books, walks or sports, there is something for everyone. Join us for a drop-in session on September the 3rd to plan your month. Highlights include book club, tandem cycling, and fishing, and even a pop-up cinema showing La La Land. To get your spot, call us on 01902 880111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org.
Thanks for that update, Helen. Next up, we have another block of local news.
People will be able to step inside some of the borough's most interesting historic buildings and join fun family activities as part of this year's National Heritage Open Day scheme. Dudley Council is working with partners to showcase buildings across the borough, many not typically open to the public, through free events and virtual tours from September the 6th to 15th. A full list of events, including those below, times of opening, and whether you need to book in advance, are available at www.heritageopendays.org.uk. In Dudley, there are tours of Top Church, St. Thomas and St. Luke, on Saturday the 7th from 1:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. where you can learn about its history through a new digital tour, and children can take part in drama workshops. Dudley Castle is hosting events on Thursday the 12th and Friday the 13th of September, pre-booking required. St. John's Church is open on multiple dates, St. Edmund's Church, Bottom Church, and the St. Augustine's Church in Hall Church Road are both open on Saturday the 14th, and from Saturday the 6th to 14th you can visit the Crown Public House in Wolverhampton Street. At St. Peter's Church Cradley, blacksmith demonstrations, wool making, tower tours, and a family history event are on Saturday the 7th of September. On Saturday the 14th and Sunday the 15th, visit the 17th century Stourbridge Quaker Meeting House. On Saturday the 14th, Stourbridge Glass Museum is hosting a live glass auction, and Red House Glass Cone will have a Black Country Brass playing on site between 12:30 and 3 p.m. On Saturday the 14th, there's a large program of events in Briley Hill. The library is hosting a memory bank where people can record their memories of the town for future generations, view historic artifacts, maps and photographs, and also take in their own artifacts to be researched and securely displayed. Other venues are holding tours or events across the town, including Albion Street Church, St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church, the former Library and Technical Institute, Harry's Cafe, Briley Hill Market, and St. Michael's Church, the oldest building in Briley Hill, where you can have a go at ringing one of the 125-year-old bells. Councillor Paul Bradley, Deputy Leader of the Council, said, "We're pleased to be working with partners to support the Heritage Open Day initiative once again, and to promote the great work achieved through grant-funded programs such as the Dudley Townscape Heritage Scheme and Briley Hill High Street Heritage Action Zone. There is just a snapshot of events and activities happening across the borough. I'd encourage people to get involved in the family fun activities taking place or take a virtual tour of some of our most fascinating and historical buildings. For a full list of events, virtual tours and downloadable brochures, visit www.heritageopendays.org.uk.
Talking of historical significance in the region, there's something rather special nestled alongside the Tettenhall Transport Heritage Centre. Take a walk along a former railway line and you'll come across a hidden gem with great coffee and a warm welcome. In a corner of Tettenhall, just behind Majestic Wine Warehouse on the A41, sits Cupcake Lane Cafe, a place making use of the space provided by a former railway station and providing a welcome stop for walkers taking on the South Staffordshire Railway Walk between Claregate and Wallheath. The cafe occupies the platform and waiting rooms of the former Tettenhall station, which was on the Wombourne branch line and served the community between its opening in 1925 and closure in 1932, and had been a park ranger station that then lay dormant for years until the cafe opened in 2014. Walking into the station area, it feels like going back into time, heading along the platform and seeing the wooden roof, while a large area of tables and seating has been set up alongside the platform edge. The cafe was opened by Michelle Butler and Lorraine Lane in 2014, which helped to revive a building which had become derelict and has been run by husband and wife Michael and Emma Dockery since July 2018. Michael said he and his wife had spent a lot of time working to update and modernise the kitchen, as well as make changes to the menu and arrangements around the cafe when they took over. He said, "When we first took over, we decluttered because there was a lot of stuff here. For instance, the previous owners didn't cook anything from fresh. It was all microwaved stuff. We got an oven and hob installed and started cooking from fresh. Then we changed a lot of the menu as well, introducing new cakes and changing the arrangement that you get when you walk into the first room. There were quite a lot of tables and chairs in that area, and the kitchen was kind of open, so it was very tight and clustered, and we decided to reconfigure it to make it more workable."
Now it's time to test your knowledge, as we have the quiz questions for this edition. Take it away, Roger.
TNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, it's Roger Brooks here with a general knowledge quiz. So, brains in gear and off we go. As World War II loomed, this is question one, who was the Prime Minister before Winston Churchill? Question two, still in that war, who led the so-called Free French opposition from the United Kingdom? The Frenchman who led the Free French opposition. Question three, what was the capital of West Germany before Germany was reunified and the capital status returned to Berlin? The capital of West Germany. Sounds French, I'll give you a clue. Question four, the novel Day of the Jackal turned into a successful film and then a less successful version. Who wrote it? Who wrote Day of the Jackal? And for a bonus point, what was its approximate plot? Question five. Who was the first 60s pop act to have their first three singles go to number one? The first 60s pop group to have hits with their first three releases, all of which reached number one. Question six. What's unusual about tennis superstar Roger Federer's first four children? Very unusual. Question seven. Who wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Question eight. Elvis Presley. What was his middle name? What was the middle name Elvis Presley? Question nine. As the American Civil War neared its end, who shot President Abraham Lincoln? And finally, question 10. This is about the hit comedy film, which some people rate as the number one comedy of all time. Bit of a heavy burden to bear. Some Like It Hot. Name two of its three big stars. That's question 10 in our general knowledge quiz.
TNF soundings.
Cheers for those questions, Roger. I'll get my mind working on them. Up now, however, is another block of local news.
Now here's something rather unique. A tradition that dates back over 450 years and is set to happen once more in a city just outside the Black Country. She is too young to do a paper round. She may even struggle to open a junior bank account until she reaches her next birthday. But on Saturday, at the tender age of 10, Grace Francis will carry one of the highest offices in the West Midlands as she leads an ancient procession through her home city. Grace will make history when she stands in for Cathy Woods, Sheriff of Lichfield, for the 471st Sheriff's Ride around the 15th century boundaries of the city. "I can't wait to be part of the ride," says Grace, who was earlier this year appointed as the Lichfield's first junior sheriff. "I will be travelling with my mum, leaving the city in a horse and carriage. To be the first ever junior sheriff is amazing. I can't wait to see all the horses and the cyclists travel around the 16-mile course." The procession is normally led by the Sheriff of Lichfield, but this year's Sheriff, Cathy Woods, is unable to carry out the function due to health and mobility problems. She says she is delighted Grace will be able to step into the breach. 40 horses will take part in this year's event, with Olympic gold medalist Jane Holderness Rodham also joining the ride. Cyclists have also been invited to join them to broaden the appeal of the tradition. The event dates back to 1553, when Gregory Stonehenge, the city's first sheriff, was commanded by Queen Mary to carry out a patrol around its boundaries to mark the granting of its royal charter. The tradition has continued in some form or other every year since, although it had to be scaled back considerably following COVID restrictions. This year will be the first time since 2019 when the full course has been carried out, says the man responsible for mapping out the route, clerk of the course, Nick Sedgwick. During lockdown, we did it in a 4x4, but we weren't allowed to use the horses. Last year, we did half the course, but this is the first time we will cover it all.
Nick, a former sheriff who also holds the post of Lichfield's ale taster, says one of the biggest challenges is navigating the farmers' crops in the run-up to harvest. A lot of the old boundaries go through private land. It's not all along public rights of way, he says. Some years, hundreds of people will turn out to watch us. And while the tradition is very old, it still has to comply with modern-day health and safety requirements, meaning that a great deal of planning is necessary. We are very conscious of safety, says Nick. With us on the road, we have a vet in a 4x4, paramedics and an equine ambulance, so if someone falls off, we can step in right away. The Queen's granting of the Charter in 1553 was an important event in Lichfield's history. Not only did it mark out the boundaries of the city, it also saw Lichfield break away from Staffordshire, becoming a city in its own right. The charter commanded the sheriff to perambulate the new county and city annually on the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The organisation of the event has been taken over by the Lichfield Shrievalty Association, a group of former sheriffs, also including Simon Price, chief executive of the Arthur Price Cutlery Manufacture, which is sponsoring the event. "I thought I could ride a horse until I did the sheriff's ride," joked Simon, saying that the six-hour ride proved more arduous than he expected. He was the driving force behind the appointment of a junior sheriff to encourage the younger generation to take more interest in the city's history. He has also founded the Arthur Price Children's Fund to help more youngsters experience horse riding for the first time. The association has also appointed an official ride historian, Jonathan Jono Oates, who will visit schools, explaining the story behind the event. Also, to widen community involvement in the event, cyclists will also join the horses.
Simon says his aim is to make the event relevant for today's society, attracting the next generation and helping the local economy by bringing in people from outside the usual groups to participate. The Shrievalty Association, a group of volunteers, has done an amazing job in organising this year's event, and I'd like to thank them for their efforts to help create a lasting legacy for the people of the area. Daryl Brown, another former sheriff, says the Shrievalty Association's intention is to constantly improve the event and is already looking forward to next year when the city will also host the National Association of City and Town Sheriffs Conference weekend. It will see sheriffs from all over the country coming to Lichfield, he says. It will be an amazing few days to showcase Lichfield, not forgetting bringing in new income to local hotels, restaurants and bars. The ride starts from the Guildhall in Boar Street at 10 a.m, passing through Bird Street and Beacon Street before stopping at the green space by the Co-op car park about 11:15. It will then go through Burton Old Road and Cappers Lane before returning to Beacon Street about 4 p.m. and passing through the city under the escort of the Sword and Mace Bearers of Cathedral Lodge as they make their way to the cathedral for about 4:30 p.m. It will be quite the spectacle, says Nick. Horses, cyclists, and it's the only event of its type in the UK. We want the community to celebrate the city and, as with all the amazing free events in Lichfield, support the local economy.
Now, from horses to hornets and the slogan, "Our bees need you." That's the message from South Staffordshire and District Beekeepers Association ahead of Asian Hornet Awareness Week, which runs this week. South Staffordshire and District Beekeepers Association from across the region, including Lichfield, Burntwood, Rugeley, Cannock, Stafford and Wolverhampton, are stepping up their offensive against the non-native invasive predator, which has sadly reached our shores, to help keep its threat under control. Sporting t-shirts bearing the message, "Can you spot the difference?" they will spend the awareness week highlighting the key differences between the non-native Asian yellow-legged hornet and our native European hornet. Alongside visuals of the two hornets, the t-shirts will also display QR codes for the free Asian Hornets Watch app, which could be our best defence against the Asian hornet's predator. So, why are beekeepers so worried about the Asian hornet? Paul Twybill of Technol, who is the president of the South Staffordshire and District Beekeepers Association, said, "Our bees are facing a serious threat and we need everyone's help to protect them. We have learned from other areas that early reporting is the key to controlling this potentially devastating threat to our pollinators, particularly our honeybees. Reporting of sightings enables nests to be found and destroyed. By learning to spot the difference between the yellow-legged Asian hornet and our native European hornet and downloading the free app, you will be playing a crucial role in defending our bees and supporting the vital pollination work they do." The Asian hornet's body is mostly black with an orange stripe, and its legs are yellow on the ends as though they've been dipped in yellow paint. Our native European hornet's body is predominantly yellow with thin black stripes. The Asian hornet is also known to deliver ferocious and sustained attacks on anyone who disturbs their nest, which could potentially include dog walkers and children. And, like a wasp, it can deliver multiple stings, which on rare occasions have been fatal. For more on the Asian hornet and how you can help protect our countryside's pollinators, please visit southstaffsbeekeepers.com, where you can also find more about the charity itself. You can also download the Asian Hornet app in Apple's App Store or on Google Play.
Up now, we have a special edition of this week's sports feature.
Here's something of special interest if you were a fan of Wolves or West Brom. Well, with the new football season, our Talking News service would like to hear from you. In an exciting new development to the weekly football roundup, our Fan Zone feature will give you the opportunity to leave your thoughts, opinions and reaction to all the action from the weekend, making you the stars of the show. So, whether you are part of the Wolves pack, a boing boing baggy, or just a fervent follower of the beautiful game, if you'd like to be one of our prize pundits, then please do get in touch to register your interest. You can call, drop a text message, or leave a WhatsApp voice note with your name and who you support with our Talking News team on 07849 802 703. We can't wait to hear from you. It's going to be truly phenomenal.
Up next, let's have another block of local news.
Ploughing Match, which has raised a whopping £25,000 for charity, will return in September in an effort to raise more funds for great causes. It has been 35 years since a group of young people who were part of the original Bridge North National Vintage Tractor and Engine Club decided they wanted to create a ploughing match and working day. It was the start of an event which has since become an annual date on the ploughman's calendar, moving from farm to farm. Until 2023, all proceeds were donated to the Air Ambulance, with more than £25,000 donated. But this year, we'll see the event extend its support and money raised for the Lingan Davis Centre, Hope House and Prostate Cancer UK. Ernie said, "Ploughing matches are a very important part of the rural community. They are a competition between men and women who hone in on their skills. It is not just about putting the plough in the ground. It is a primary cultivation in a sequence of cultivations to create a seedbed and is judged on straightness, levelness, tidiness, firmness, and overall appearance at the end. There will be 8 classes of different types and ages of ploughs working during the match with classic and vintage tractors. Each ploughman is allotted a plot size and it is done under timed conditions. The majority of members who take part spend many weekends ploughing. They do it for comradeship and to raise money for charity. Some have been doing the matches for over 30 years, only missing one or two. The committee are hoping to encourage as many people as possible to attend this year's event. It's a really good family day out with lots of entertainment and an emphasis on charity, said Cherry. We want to encourage youngsters to join and become part of this community because otherwise this sort of competition will sadly die out. Our aim is to raise money for 3 magnificent charities. Hope House is an amazing place for families from Shropshire, Powys and North Wales to receive care for children. Many families have benefited from their love and support. Lingan Davis is a charity very close to our hearts, as many of us have had to use this service. We are so lucky to have it in our county, and the support they give is tremendous. And we felt Prostate Cancer UK, though not a local charity, is a worthy cause which we believe we should support and want to raise money for. The match at Corve Barn Farm, TF136QX, starts at 10 a.m. on September the 22nd and is by kind invitation of Chris and Margaret Brown. For further information or to book to plough, contact Cherry on 01746 761 361 or Margaret Davis on 07791 351 647.
Thanks, Liz. That sounds like quite an attractive spectacle. Did you know that the term horsepower was adopted in the late 18th century by Scottish engineer James Watt to compare the output of steam engines with the power of a draft horse, a large horse bred to be a working animal hauling freight and doing heavy agricultural tasks such as ploughing? The average tractor has between 40 to 80 horsepower, which is not quite going to capture the imagination of anyone who appreciates a good adrenaline rush, but you may soon be able to hear the growl of an iconic beast of the Black Country that you may just remember. National Motor Museum engineers are ready to start the engine rebuild of land speed record breaker Sunbeam 1000 horsepower, which was built at the Sunbeam Works in Wolverhampton. They have spent a year and a half stripping down and taking apart the colossal 22.5-litre Matabele V12 aero engine, which has not run for more than 80 years. Everything on the Sunbeam 1000HP was bespoke, apart from its 2 colossal 22.5-litre Matabele V12 aero engines, which were spare parts from Sunbeam's works in Wolverhampton, and neither has run for more than 80 years. Now, after a year and a half of work to strip down and take apart the rear engine, National Motor Museum engineers are ready to start its rebuild. New bespoke engine parts have been made, while others have been remetalled. Piston rings had disintegrated and needed replacements, while original conrods, pistons and cranks have been restored and are ready to bolt back together. The process has been forensic, as bolts and parts have been removed, then meticulously labelled and bagged, ready for the rebuild. There has been no manual or documentation to follow during the Sunbeam's 1000HP restoration, so the workshop team has relied on rare pictures they've been able to find from the original design team and factory workforce. National Motor Museum senior engineer Ian Stanfield said, "We have found unique engineering and a wonderful quality of workmanship during the restoration so far, but nothing has been easy to get at. Cracks in the engine's crankcase were found during testing, and those, unlike the turning handle of Sunbeam 350HP, Sunbeam 1000HP relied on an air starter mechanism, and the workshop team found that most of its parts were missing, so are now making replacements." Expert National Motor Museum engineers have drawn on experience from restoring Sunbeam 350HP in preparation for its 90th land speed record anniversary at Pendyne in 2015. Ian said, "It's been a privilege because not everyone gets to work on a land speed record breaker. Working on Sunbeam 350 HP was one of the best things I've ever done, and this is up there with it because it preserves these landmark cards for future prosperity. He explained, after completing Sunbeam 350 HP, we found problems with Sunbeam 1000 HP, which we weren't willing to leave as the custodians of its future. As oils and lubricants get older, they turn into a tar-like consistency and glue engine parts together. That deterioration continues if it's not dealt with. Each of the massive Sunbeam 1000 HP engines once produced 435 brake horsepower, and a forklift truck was needed to lift them from the chassis. Both engines had previously been used for powerboat racing in Maple Leaf 7. A 1918 date mark was found on the rear engine, while the front engine has a plaque which had been attached before it became part of the National Motor Museum collection, saying, "Engine will not start owing to vital part of mechanism being removed." The front engine and exposed chassis can now be seen by visitors to Bewley on display in the National Motor Museum. There are plans for a rear engine start-up out of the car before it is lowered back into the chassis. Sunbeam 1000 HP can run with just one engine, but once the restoration of the rear engine is complete, the team plans to begin work on the front engine, which will take a further year. Funds are now needed to complete the full restoration project. Sunbeam 1000 HP restoration campaign was launched with Hampshire-based Brooksby Automotive and aims to raise £300,000 to complete the restoration of the Slug, with the ambition of taking it back to Daytona Beach in Florida on the 100th anniversary of its record-breaking run in 2027.
Now it's time to find out how our local football teams have been getting on.
It was a weekend of firsts for our football teams this week, with the Baggies' Jason Malumbi scoring his first goal of the season, a strike that capped off a rampant first half that on another day could have seen the Albion 3, 4 or even 5 up at the break. The 1-0 victory over Swansea means the Baggies remain unbeaten in the Championship, and for the first time in a long time the Albion find themselves sitting pretty in an automatic promotion spot, continuing a feel-good factor around the club. And for Wolves, a Jean-Ricner Bellegarde Thunderbolt strike, the old gold's first goal from outside the penalty box in 47 Premier League matches and 173 attempts, earned them a hard-fought 1-1 draw away at Nottingham Forest and provided them with their first point of the season. The game also saw the first start for deadline day signing and former Baggies goalkeeper Sam Johnston, as well as the first few minutes for Wolves' new number 7, Brazilian international Andre. It also gave us the first and quite possibly last equine reference of the season, with head coach Gary O'Neill lauding the courage, bravery and togetherness of his players, but also commenting on how they are an emotional group. "They are a little bit crazy. Some of the decisions we made at the end are like me trying to hold on to this wild horse, and then all of a sudden they're off and gone. That's why I end up being so animated on the sidelines, because I'm trying to get them back to where I need them. I guess you could say it has been more of a trot than a canter for Wolves this season." Did you catch any of the action over the weekend? What were your thoughts? Don't forget you can now get involved with the football roundup here on the Talking News by simply leaving a WhatsApp message or voice note, text message or voicemail on 07849 802703. So without further ado, let's head over to this week's Fan Zone and get our prized pundit's take on what unfolded over the weekend.
"Hi, this is Jamie, the Wolves fan. I thought the transfer window, we've been left short in defence. We needed another centre-half. I just hope the new signings that have been brought in can help the squad a bit, but I think we are left short on a centre-half. I'll be looking forward to seeing Forbes play, seeing if he can help fill the gap that Pedro Neto has left. Hopefully he has. On the game, Wolves still haven't taken the lead in a game yet this season, which is getting to be a little bit worrying. I thought that Bellegarde's response was very good. Thought it was a good rocket. It was actually a goal of the weekend. And on the performance, I just think we needed to get off the mark. We're off the mark now, and we need to look to try and get some wins. And I think we need to look at others in the squad to take the places of some of the first team, because I don't think it's working out at the moment. I am getting worried now that we haven't got more points on the board. So thank you, and I'll speak to you next week.
Now we have the quiz
answers
for this edition. Take it away, Roger.
TNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, Roger Rooks back with the answers to our general knowledge quiz. Question 1. Prime Minister before Winston Churchill finally took over was Neville Chamberlain, the man who came back from meeting Herr Hitler and waved a piece of paper, which famously is known as Peace in Our Time. I think really what he meant was peace for our lifetime. That was Neville Chamberlain. Question 2. The leader of the Free French Opposition in the United Kingdom in World War II was General de Gaulle. Charles de Gaulle. Question 3. The capital of West Germany before reunification of Germany was Bonn. Bonn. Question 4. Who wrote Day of the Jackal? That was Frederick Forsyth. And what was the approximate plot? Well, it was a hired gun who was trying to kill the aforementioned General de Gaulle when he was president. Question 5. The 60s pop act to have 3 singles, their first 3, go to number 1, was from Liverpool. No. Yes. It was not the Beatles. It was Jerry and the Pacemakers. They had I Like It, How Do You Do, and You'll Never Walk Alone. All 3 went to number 1. Question 6. What's unusual about Roger Federer's first 4 children? They're 2 pairs of twins, twin boys and twin girls. So watch out, tennis world, when that lot get going. They could win the singles, the mixed doubles. Oh, it goes on. I'm sure that will be their number 1 hobby. Question 7. Who wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Well, surprisingly to some, it was to me when I learned this years ago, was Ian Fleming, he of the James Bond books. So it was one of his lighter moments of fantasy. But gimmicky cars, of course. Yeah, you got it. Question 8. Elvis Presley's middle name was Aaron, A-A-R-O-N. And just in passing, I'll mention that he was a twin. His twin, Jesse, was stillborn. Question 9. Who shot Abe Lincoln? Well, that was actor John Wilkes Booth. John Wilkes Booth. And question 10. The stars of Some Like It Hot, the big stars of it, were Tony Curtis, Marilyn Monroe, and Jack Lemmon. Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis disguised themselves as girls in a band, including Marilyn Monroe, in order to escape the bad guys. That was question 10. Hope you did well.
TNF soundings.
Now, grab yourself a cuppa, find your comfy spot, and nestle down.
Hi, my name is Clive Davis, and I am the chair of the Wildlife Sound Recording Society. We are a worldwide community of recordists, both professional and amateur, with a variety of different interests. Every year, we have a competition for a short documentary. And it is great that we can share these entries with you now. The first is by Alan Burbage, which is titled Fantasy Island. Enjoy.
It was my wife, Teresa's idea. She said, "It is all very well you going off recording, but we should have a hobby that we can do together." And so it was that our shared passion for sailing was born. But my passion for sound recording is more of an obsession, and my thoughts turn to how could I combine both hobbies. Simple. We sail in Scotland and island hop. Here we are again, at Ardfern, approaching the marina, ahead of a week of sailing around the Inner Hebrides. Even on arrival, the forecast isn't great. The wind is soon increasing, yachts in the harbour strain on their lines, and the wind whistles in the halyards. But up here on the northwest coast, the weather can change on a whim, so time to get some kip and see what tomorrow brings. True to form, the next morning dawns fair and bright, with a good sailing breeze. So off we go, cutting through the water, with therapeutic sounds almost like waves on the shore. With fair wind and a fair tide, we approach a cluster of uninhabited islands, drop anchor and row ashore to explore, accompanied, of course, by my recording gear. The island is surrounded by high cliffs, apart from a small sheltered bay from where we ascend the heights. Along the way, a greenshank calls from the rocky shore. And, as we climb, quite unexpectedly, in the mid-afternoon sunshine, a storm petrel chirrs from a small crevice between rocks in a boulder field. This is a seabird paradise. Rat-free, the birds prosper, nesting on almost every available cliff ledge or rocky outcrop. A shag calls from its nest under a rocky overhang, keen-eyed, noting anything moving anywhere near its chick. High on the cliffs and high above a gully, kittiwakes make their presence known as gulls patrol the island perimeter. Far away, on the cliff edge, razorbills hold conversations and guillemots and their young call incessantly from their colony. Less common here, but very vocal, former pairs converse from cliff edge nests. Hidden in grassy banks are secret entrances, patrolled by sentinels, their bright white chests and colourful bills gleaming in the intense sunlight. Deep within these burrows come the unmistakable calls of puffins as they communicate burrow to burrow. It's been a fantastic afternoon, almost calm, bright sunshine, the crash of the sea far below. But all too soon it is time to head back to the yacht. The tide will soon be turning, and disturbingly, mare's tails and a mackerel sky build from the west. Might be a storm coming, and we need to get into a safe harbour for the night. I wonder what tomorrow will bring.
TNF Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!